Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word fuck. Out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, fuck is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the heart of the heartland, it's time for Keeping It 99.
Welcome to Keeping It 99, your one-stop shop podcast for everything in the world of heavy metal, rock and roll, and Northeast Ohio. Sometimes none of that. My name is Eagle. It's the bird. It's Eagle like the bird. And I am joined, as always, by everybody's favorite Rubber City Redbeard.
Let's go.
And everybody's new favorite on the show, Wally Howe. Ding, 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 ding,
ding. What up, everybody? Hey!
How many bands are you in right now?
Currently.
One, two, three, four. But one, seriously. The other ones are works in progress, as you like to say.
Yeah.
Work in progress.
That's what this show's been for years.
Every time we record.
Every time. Every single time. Dude, you'll see when this thing crashes here in like 20 minutes. And I'm like, so sorry, guys. So sorry. This might take 10 minutes to fix.
So you're a busy guy.
Yeah.
You're a busy dude and have been in some of the more well-known bands in Northeastern Ohio.
Mm-hmm. That is only your perception.
Well.
Not just ours.
I would say more than just us.
We were at a show with you at the Outpost last year where there was like, it was like 50 NDE shirts just walking around.
Yeah. What show are you talking about? The Hate Theory show?
Yep.
I was cornered so many times by people that I haven't seen since the NDE days, wanting to know, what's up with you guys, man? What's up with you guys?
You guys get back together?
And you're like, I'm in fucking bands. I never fucking stopped.
Like, yeah, I know. That's another thing. Like, how come NDE? What is it? I'm like, all I know is I'm here now.
Right?
I'm here.
Making killer shit, by the way.
What's that?
They said, and you're making killer shit.
Like, oh, yeah, Foul Spirits is awesome.
Well, no one's died yet from a killer shit, so hopefully we get to change that and make it actual
killer shit. Yes. And I jammed Nail Black in the car. Like, I don't use the word impressed, but I was fucking impressed when I listened to Nail Black. I was like, what? How is this not like a...
I'm not Nail Black.
Oh, I mean somebody that may look like you.
Yeah. That Malum guy. I wear glasses.
Right.
I don't have the super suit. You know, I'm wearing glasses right now. You know what I'm saying? Super suit. But if you want to talk to Malum, I know him. I can call him right now.
How long have you been in bands and making music?
I joined NDE. Like 95, 96, like right out of high school.
Was that like your first band? Was NDE?
No. Okay. Like before NDE, like 93, 94, me and old Jeff Fall. Everyone knows Jeff Fall. Nobody doesn't like Jeff Fall.
Nobody.
Everyone loves that dude. He's on like every local band's CD doing a guest spot, you know.
He's in this podcast Hall of Fame.
I mean. Yeah. But Jeff Fall and I were in his aunt and uncle's basement making music, him screaming and me playing guitar, like 11th, 12th grade. Yeah. Uh-huh. And so I guess that's technically when I started making music with other people. But and at the same time, NDE jammed next door to my house in Ravenna. Like, seriously, and one day me and Jeff were actually walking and we're like, what the fuck's that noise? And it was another band, Biosphere.
I remember those guys. Oh, yeah.
They shared a room with NDE, and then I found out that NDE jammed there, too, so I'd walk past waiting to hear music, you know? I didn't hear them walk past, and then, you know, I heard them. And I had seen them at a show, you know? And I started hanging out, and started hanging out more, and knew their schedule, stalked them like fools, you know? and then the rest is history.
Like, you knew when they were going to show up and shit, so you're kind of, like, wandering outside the house, smoking a cigarette, like... These guys talk to me. Oh, hey, you guys. Are you doing stuff over here? Is there stuff going on?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know you were here. Oh. So you got like 20, about 25 years of playing in bands.
Has it been that long? Holy shit, man. I really haven't thought about that. 95?
I mean, you were a 96. Kid.
You're the big 4-0 now.
The big 4-0. The big 4-0, yeah. I'm about to be big 4-1 here in a few weeks.
Yeah. You stop counting at 40.
I stopped counting at 32, so.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a rock star. I stopped counting at 27.
Right.
But I'm like, fuck, it didn't work. I'm still here.
I didn't do it right.
But you're currently in a band with Jeff Fall. So it all kind of comes back together with Foul Spirits.
Yeah.
And Foul Spirits, you guys are playing a show at the Outpost on the 30th.
That's right. That's one week from today. I'm not sure when this will come out, but
this will be out sometime early in the week, probably.
June 30th.
Friday. This will be out Friday.
I think Monday. I think I'm going to have this out on Monday.
No way.
Watch me.
We'll see.
You doubt me?
Uh-huh.
Hey. I can edit.
I'm not saying you can't.
My kid's
I'm just saying that sometimes, like, little pagers will throw in a fucking page bomb. And
yeah, and Timmy did just have the...
The thing. The surgery.
Yeah. Rest in peace, Timmy's tonsils.
Yeah, no worries. They can come back. Don't be fooled.
They can come back. With the right diet,
Both of mine grew back. I had my tonsils and adenoids removed, and they grew back years after I'd had them removed.
Holy shit, man. That's some black magic shit right there.
No, I know. But the doctor said it's actually quite common. So it's not as freaky as you think.
Eat almonds and kale, and everything will grow back.
I eat almonds. I was just eating almonds.
Eat kale-wrapped almonds, and everything will grow back.
That's it. That's science.
And swish coconut oil.
gargle with that.
Oh, shit, man.
So who all you guys got playing at the show with you?
I personally am very excited for this bill because Axioma is playing from Cleveland.
Oh, they're awesome.
And whoever is not familiar with Axioma should be. If you're listening to this podcast, chances are they like metal.
Yeah.
And they should know about Axioma.
They should.
Yeah, they should.
I believe we've played Axioma on the show before.
I think we've talked about them for sure.
Yeah.
They're very, is the word atmospheric?
Atmospheric, but they're able to... You know, assault you as well, like bare bones knuckle punch. You know, it's
yeah,
just, yeah, not like dissonant chords. They grind. I mean, I love that shit. You know, my wife loved that shit. She plays it more than I do.
Yeah.
You know, but which means I've heard it. You know, through her as well as you know. My phone at work with the headphones on, but I saw them live a couple times, and I'm excited to bring them on, you know, on my show.
Yeah,
and Modem as well, because I like Matt. Matt's a really cool dude. Jeff saw Modem, and he said that they're awesome. So you know,
where are those guys from?
They're from Kent as well.
Okay,
yeah, and if Jeff Fall is down with a band, usually 90% of the time, I would be too.
They're worth listening to.
Yeah. So he liked them. He wanted them on the bill. I wanted Axioma on the bill. Everything worked out great, so that's going to be nice.
So it's just those three bands?
Yeah, just three bands.
Oh, that's awesome. That's the best way to do it.
Yeah, that is a rarity, you know, just to have only three bands at a place, you know, like the Outpost. You know, Outpost has two stages. You know, most people want to utilize both stages.
Yeah, a lot of promoters like to do the 12 band, you know, make it a festival within like a 4-hour time frame, which is hardest part. Because it's not like a blackout cookout where you go, it's an all day event and you get to eat. So you can just kind of relax and socialize throughout the day and go check out a band. And it's definitely.
I mean, you know, when those sort of shows, I'm not saying everyone has been shit because I've been to a couple of those shows, the back and forth shows, where it actually runs smoothly.
Yeah.
You know?
And the Outpost is really well at doing that, I've got, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I'll go so far to say as every show that has run smoothly has been at the Outpost. Like, seriously, I mean, you know, I don't go to Peabody's. I haven't been to Peabody's in forever.
Is that a thing still?
Is it a thing still?
No, it's gone.
Maybe that's why I haven't been there.
He doesn't even know. What?
They bulldozed that. Peabody's is no longer.
Yeah, but Peabody's is where I remember that shit starting. Because they had the two stages, and they had, like, the Rockstar Club upstage. So they had three stages, you know?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, like, you're fucking running up and down steps to see a band, and you got to choose which band, you know? So I really like how they do it at the Outpost, and when it's run smoothly, it's cool, you know? It's cool.
Well, you know, like, Peabody's was notorious just for fucking being oversold.
Yeah.
Hello, yeah. Dan Call.
That dude.
I heard things.
Yeah.
I heard
things.
Hey, buddy.
Best YouTube video ever.
Oh, my God.
Like,
yes.
If you want to learn how to be a fucking shitty promoter,
yeah.
He's got a video out for that.
Hi, my name's Dan Call. You interested in doing Battle of the Bands?
Hey, well, check me out. I'm Dan Call. I do stuff.
I'm going to give you 100 tickets. I'm going to take all the money that you sell, and then I'm going to give you whatever fucking time slot I feel like. I'm Dan Call.
Oh, yeah, dude.
I'm like friends with that dude to a certain extent.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, what? On Facebook? You're not friends with him? When's the last time you sat down and ate food with him?
He liked one of my
pictures.
You ever
break bread with the dude?
He liked one of my pictures recently.
You ain't never broke bread with him.
Like the picture.
He's not your friend.
Hey, guys, it's the Gorilla Music Battle of the Bands in a city near you. I'm Dan Call, the president of Gorilla Music, wishing your band the very best. I'll talk to you real soon.
I'm not a concert promoter myself, but I'm starting to try to learn about it, and it's already stressful. I booked a free show, and I'm stressed.
It's not, dude, it's stressful.
I'm
it really
stressed.
Is. But it really is. It's stressful.
It's just a gamble factor. It's not a very stressful thing if you're putting your money in the right places
right.
and doing the right things to get the people to your show.
Well, what is like, what is this? Let's back up here.
Okay.
What's this? Money. What is that?
Oh, that's the stuff that you need to make people happy.
It's what you lose
to bring them to your building,
America.
And then you got to charge four times the amount to make sure you pay your bills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a gamble. You got to be like, okay, man, I'm gonna spend $6,000 on a headliner, and I have to make sure that I cover that fucking cost coming in. And this is how many people fucking are here. I got to get the right bands on this bill, and I have to do more than just Facebook.
It's not even right bands. I think like, well, I mean, like as far as being good bands, but I think like I think a lot of people overbook the bands because they want to get that money from them directly.
But they're not like if you just book a solid four bands,
right?
You don't need 12 fucking bands to fill your venue. You can fill a venue with four fucking bands if you got the right goddamn bands.
Yeah, and you know, no ticket sales either. You get those 12 bands, you give them each fucking 50 tickets,
yeah.
and you expect every ticket to be gone.
Yeah.
You know,
they have to battle for a time slot out of that, they're not going to find out until the day of the show, and then the people that you have coming, they're calling you all day long. What time you guys go on?
Yeah,
like the week leading up to it. And then as a band, you're fucking freaking out and fighting. I'm sure so many bands have broken up because they didn't know their time slot, and they were just like, you know what? Fuck this, dude. Like, I told my girlfriend that we were going to play after 9, and we're playing at 7, upstairs, on the roof. This is bullshit. This is bullshit.
Yeah, for the fourth time in a row.
We're such a good band. We should get more exposure. You know, it's like,
we're just going to do our own thing, dude. I'm just going to throw our own shows.
Yeah, I'm going to become a rapper. Fuck it.
I consider myself a guy that's been in, you know, what you say, good bands.
Yeah.
But I can't sell a fucking ticket. Who am I going to sell a ticket to? I probably owe these people money.
You owe me money, man. You get a ticket.
It's fucking hell. I got these tickets for $10. You got that $10 you owe me, and I'll buy a ticket.
Yeah. It's such an awkward place to be when you have friends and you're like, hey, give me money to come see me do what I love to do.
Right. Yep.
And like I've known people over the years, even recently, especially with like Facebook existing and shit. Like I've seen people get on drunk Facebook rants about like after their show, they're like, you know what, you fuckers never come to my show.
Oh yeah,
you're supposed to be my fucking friends, and you don't support this fucking shit. You don't support the scene if you're not supporting me because I'm the scene.
Yeah, their band is the scene.
Their band's the scene, and everybody is a backstabbing piece of shit for not fucking giving them, you know, $15 to go see them like 40 miles away or something.
I share a video about a cat being best friends with an alligator. Fucking gets 200 fucking likes. I fucking put a post out about my band. 2 likes. I fucking see how it is.
It's my heart and soul, man.
Put everything into this.
Like even back in the day when we were like I want to say a D-class local bands. You know, we were always like
That is the correct class.
Yes, we were a D-class. Like we were always the opener, always selling tickets for motherfuckers. You know, we didn't get to any certain fucking level, but like
you're
I remember
always
never
drunk.
Always
D,
drunk.
D for drunk?
Yeah.
Because you were drunk all the time?
That was our gimmick. We were like drunk.
Hey, look at them. Ah, they're drunk again.
Parking lot, bottle of Jaeger right before the fucking show. Like, that's.
But I never, I always kept it in my mind not to treat my friends like they were ticket sales. Like, that was always a thing. The first time we ever got to open up for Mushroom Head back in 2000, when you're a young starting band, that's God to me, right? Like at that time, I was just like,
oh, you made it at that point. Yeah. Like high schoolers and shit, like you get to play with Mushroom Head, and that's how it's been for 25 years.
Yeah.
Like, high schoolers just being excited to play for that band.
Like I'll never forget, all we had to do was sell 20 tickets. They were $20 tickets. We had to sell 20 just to be on the bill. just to be honest. So what we did was we collectively got together and we just bought 20 tickets and gave them away.
Done that.
We just gave them away. Just like here.
Yep.
Just here. Just come show up.
We just want to play.
And we still ended up playing first out of fucking like 13, 14 fucking bands at the Highland Theater and shit. Caligo just jumped on and they got the main stage fucking.
Oh, I think Pillow Humbert played that show too.
He did.
Yeah, yeah.
He did. I got video from that show. I got video footage from that show. Fuck yeah, I do.
See, nobody remembers us because like we played before the doors open. And that was the night Dan Call gave me the line. He's like, I'll get you next time. Don't worry, I'll get you next
time.
Because he promised us for that show, if we just sold 20, he was going to give us a solid slot. And like the band,
I told you I was gonna do one thing, but you're going on first.
And the band that played after us on this little—it wasn't even a stage, just like on the floor up in the back of the room or whatever. The band that played after us was this goth band that had all white makeup, and they set up like they went to a Halloween store and they got tombstones, like styrofoam tombstones, and they just set it all up. And the, like the singer is this like fat goth dude.
Oh, was it? Whoa. Was it the fat dude who looked like an egg?
Yeah.
With really long hair.
Yeah.
That's fucking something death. What the fuck was that band? Oh, dude, they had like they would set a picket fence up on the front of the stage with foam skulls.
Yes.
And then they had a dude dress up in a black robe and paint his face white like a skull, and then he would just walk around and he would like walk up behind the guitar player and just he would do this. and he would like walk over to the bass player and be like, just put his arms up. That's all he would do. It was like, man, remember Eddie when fucking Eddie and Iron Maiden had Eddie and he came out and he was all like behind fucking Harris and shit? Dude, that looked really cool. What if we get Steve to do that? We would just get Steve to do that because he's pretty tall, dude. That band, I got a hold of the singer. Man, I got a hold of the singer on MySpace. This was years ago. And I was trying to convince him that I was putting together a compilation CD of some of the best local bands from the northeastern Ohio area, especially the Akron area. And I was trying to get him to send me their shit.
Because
I because I wanted it so bad. Like, I never wanted to forget how bad that band was. Because he was the type of dude that would do, like, the fucking, the operatic fucking high metal, you know, Halford shit.
Yeah.
He would do that. Just not really well, but he would do it.
He was no
That
Tim
show
Owens.
Was so good, man. It was so, so good. Because it was awful. Like, I'm seriously texting people right now to figure out what that band was. So I can find him again. I'm like, fuck now.
So back to Foul Spirits. How long has Foul Spirits been a band?
I'm not really too sure when they started, because they're a whole different band. And the guy who plays bass now, Mike Torcha, Torture Killer, we call him. he actually sang in the band at the time and played bass.
Okay.
And I'm pretty sure they had like another lineup where the guy who sings at Wallkeeper now did vocals.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then Jeff got a hold of me. And he wanted me to play. And at the time, Foul Spirits, you know, once I joined, consisted of the same dudes that were in a band called Tex Avery, the grindcore band.
Yeah.
We really didn't do too much. But, you know,
you were in Tex Avery?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We did like four songs. They're on the internet, you know, somewhere. And so we started a whole new band, Foul Spirits. Well, Jeff and I joined. This is like 2012.
Okay.
The first CD came out, which is their old songs, in like 2013. And then we started writing our own shit, and it got like, you know, weird. Because the stuff before I joined was more direct, like punk rock, metal, punk rock, rock, metal, punk, rock.
Right.
You know? And, you know, cool riffs. Chris writes some fucking awesome riffs. He's a great riff writer. And so I was just kind of like, I took a year or two break from playing music because I didn't want to keep up with maintaining musical equipment, you know?
Right.
And, you know, my daughter was really young, so I didn't want to, like, I just wanted to, you know, just do that for a little bit. And Jeff Fall and my wife talked me into joining Foul Spirits.
I'm glad they did.
2012, yeah.
That CD, you guys just put out an album, what, it was like last year, right?
Yeah, yeah, the Job House Family.
Dude, yep. It's in my car. That fucking album crushes it. I think I've gone on Instagram being like, listen to fucking Foul Spirits. Like,
yeah, you did,
like,
you did.
It was just like the thought I had. I was listening to it on the way to work, and I was just...
Everybody should listen to this.
Everybody should listen to this. Like, I was having one of those blessed days where I was like, man, we're blessed to have so many good fucking bands around here, and Foul Spirits is no fucking exception to that.
I appreciate that, man. I challenge myself when it comes time to write.
Yeah.
On what I'm going to do behind a drum kit, you know? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I feel I've done my whole repertoire. I've done it. Mm-hmm. I've done it over and over and over. So each release, each set of songs, each run into the studio, I'm racking my brain on what I can do a little different to keep it fresh for me and also, you know, challenge myself, man. You got to challenge yourself. Anyone who plays music cannot stop challenging themselves. That's, you know, yeah, and all the best ones keep challenging themselves forever, dude. They never stop.
That's so, something we totally preach here on this podcast with a lot of bands, because there's a lot of bands where you're like, you know what, in 2 years, they have the potential, in 2 years, 3 years, they just keep evolving and keep getting better and just working at it. They're going to be amazing, but then they sell out one show at Annabelle's or something, and then they're just like, you know what, we're done. This is it.
We're good enough.
I'm going to drink or... do a party and then just play shows.
And there's a bunch of like 40-year-old dudes running around like that fucking aren't doing shit. They're not writing anything exciting or fucking...
Yeah, a lot of them just living in the past.
Because they fucking, you know, hey man, you know, I'm fucking super awesome, I'm good. And they've been doing that for 20 years.
Yeah.
Because when they were 20, they're, oh, no, we had fucking, remember we had 150 people come out to that barn? Fucking show ruled, dude. We were fucking peaked.
We don't need to get any better than that.
Top shelf musicianship. And then there's like I see a video of like an 80-year-old dude jamming on a guitar, talking about how fucking. It was another video where he was talking about how like you never stop learning, even at his age, in his 80s, that he's still learning things, that he doesn't know everything, and he's been playing this and doing this for fucking 70 years or 80 years or whatever it is.
Yep.
And he still isn't, he doesn't consider himself to be anywhere near like a master, and he's fucking amazing.
That's a trait that I feel a good musician has, you know, the willingness to fucking learn, because there's no way I'll ever be like, oh, I'm as good as I'm going to be. This is right, shit, right. You know?
I'm going to just reuse the same fills.
Because no matter how good you think you are, there's a motherfucker out there who's going to stomp you.
Right.
You know? Uh-huh. If you let him. You know? And your band could be like, ooh, this guy's pretty good. Like that fucking movie Rockstar. They just scoop that dude up from the fucking audience. Man, you're the singer now. You know? Seriously, that can happen. So fucking watch your shit, dude. You know? Be cool to yourself. Be cool to your band members. And, you know, learn. Don't stop learning.
I feel like especially like... if you're a guitar player, right, and you think you're fucking so amazing and shit, and then you have guys like Angel Vivaldi that are just fucking flying through shit and shredding shit, like, how can you... You're not that good, so how can you be good enough to where you're like, I don't need to get better, because that dude's fucking killing you, dude, so maybe you should keep going so you get to that level.
Exactly. Like the old interviews with Jimi Hendrix, you know, they'd be like, oh, you could fuck... best guitar player ever. He's like, what? No, talk to this guy.
Yeah.
I forget who he said. I forget, man. Like Rory or something. Rory Gallagher. Is that the guy's name? I don't know. But, Rory. You know, all those old guitar players are like, that guy's the shit. I ain't nobody, you know? And, you know, I respect that, dude. Humble. It's good to be humble.
Yeah.
You know? So that's what I do. And when I did this Foul Spirits... Actually, this last Foul Spirits I did, we did three songs. I recorded them a while ago, and I, you know, we're wrapping up recording. Those drums are probably the hardest drums I recorded. And I said that with the CD before. It's the hardest shit ever that I've ever done. You know, not like hard, like some people will smoke that shit. But for me personally, you know, I think that the best drums I've ever done. I said that with everything, you know, the best bass playing I've ever done, best guitar playing I've ever done, you know, with Foul Spirits. Just three songs, man, were really challenging. And I guess in the sense of, like, my double bass playing.
Yeah.
You know, my feet are like little retarded sidekicks. So they had to step up a little bit. So, you know, I just had to fucking sit down and fucking do it, dude. And each time I play at practice, you know, I'm like, oh, shit. When those parts come up, I'm a little nervous, you know. But
yeah.
I pull, you know, I'm able to pull it off. The muscle memory or whatever I do, I don't know. But I'm better. You know, I'm better now, and so I'm waiting for my next level of what I can do, you know?
Right.
is playing drums, because you're a jack of all trades. I gotta say, like,
you play it all.
You can play it all.
You can play it all.
You're
play,
one of those dudes.
I play a few.
Has there been something that you picked up at any point? Like, if you're at a fucking music store, has there ever been an instrument that you picked up and couldn't, like, kind of figure out real quick?
Okay, I'll give you that.
Okay,
I'll give you that. There you go. I can at least get a little 3-4 note melodies.
A little something
out of anything, you know.
Yeah. Right.
But you know, guitars, bass, and drums.
The essentials for any metal band.
Yeah,
really.
I mean, I could write a metal song, you know. I could write a punk song, but I can't write. Like, I can't play piano. I can be like, doot, 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 doot. That, you know, that's pretty much the extent of anything I haven't picked up, what I can do. I can do a dooty, dooty, doot.
Right.
You know?
That's what I can do with pretty much every instrument.
See? You're an awesome musician, man.
Just that. I'm trying to figure out, like, how you've managed to squeeze in as much as you have, because if you've been doing Foul Spirits for 6 years, about 6 years, 2012-ish, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So 6 years, and then you were off for 2 years... You were in Rue for like 10 years.
I was in Rue for, when did I join? I was in that band for like three years.
Total? Oh. That's not, and then you had the Pillow Humpers.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a good time.
Yeah, that was like that was like your first venture at drums, right? Like drumming in a band?
Yeah.
And yep. It was awesome.
And I used Grant's Iron Cobra pedals the entire time that band was in existence.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been able to do Pillow Humpers if it wasn't for Grant.
Bobby Clark couldn't do anything he's ever done if it wasn't for me. So
yeah. See, there you go. Which is that is just
the
as
biscuit, right?
That is just exactly. as important as the musician itself. You know,
the guy who's willing to loan you
any source of help or camaraderie. You know, any. That's just as important.
You can use my pedals because I'm awful at them.
What's your favorite thing to play live? What's your favorite instrument to get up there and fucking do your thing? Is it drums?
Well, drums are, to me, they're fucking, it's power. Power, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I'm driving the train
it's
here.
The driving drums. Force.
Yeah. So when, you know, when I pull it off, you know, when I pull a show off and I'm happy with my performance, it's I fucking love it. I love that feeling. But my drumming is bipolar. Sometimes it's going to be good. Sometimes it's not going to be good. Sometimes I run into the other drummer, you know, where, you know, my feet just, like, fall off my legs or something. I don't know what the fuck happens. But sometimes I can't, you know, I play those shows, dude. And I think the last time we played Annabelle's, my left foot just would not move. I could not get it to move. Seriously, dude. It was terrible. It was terrible. And, you know, Jeff Fall looking back at me, what the fuck?
Like, fucking,
you know?
It's fucking weed paralysis, bro.
Yeah, something, whatever happened that night. It hadn't happened since, and I better knock on wood or something. But that was a fucking terrible show. But when I pull it off, you know, drums are my favorite. Guitar, yeah. You know, guitar and bass is a bit easier for me to play, you know? And, I don't know, man, to pick a favorite. Because I'm playing drums right now, so I miss playing guitar and I miss playing bass.
Right? Yeah.
And you know, right. When I'm playing guitar or bass, I miss playing drums. So it's, you know, but I guess right now I have more experience with drums, so I got to say drums is my favorite. Just because of that fucking power, dude. You
like
know?
Like as a fan watching you jam and shit, like I've seen you do all that over the years, and for like when you were in Pillow Humpers and shit, like it's my favorite thing is to see you behind a drum set.
Last time I saw Foul Spirits, I remember thinking that, like, I was watching you and Jeff, because Jeff Fall is super charismatic up on stage. Like, he's a monster. I was watching one dude just stare at him the entire show.
Yeah. It's not him, though. It's the vein in his neck. Yeah. Everybody fucking stares at the fucking oil pipeline that's fucking going through the side of his neck. That's what everybody stares at, and they're talking, dude, you see the fucking vein in his neck, dude?
Like, dude, one show, let's talk about this vein, there's something else. One show, Jeff Fall shows up with a fucking mustache.
He
was all about this fucking mustache. He refused to hear any criticism about this mustache. He would not fucking hear it, right?
It was so creepy.
Oh, dude, so, you know, we play the show, and obviously I'm doing my thing. I'm not watching him. But the next day, people put their pictures up. There's pictures of Jeff Fall all serious with his fucking mustache. There was no vein that night. There was only the mustache. Yeah.
It was a brilliant attempt at a mustache, though.
I mean, you know, some people the mustache fits well. You know,
some people.
I'm not sure how much trimming he did or what, but you showed up with a mustache, but with like no other hair on his fucking face. Oh shit, man, that's you know, retrospect, man, is where it's at, and that was a fucking great night because of that mustache.
Right. Yeah. You guys ever try to talk him back into it? Be like, hey, why don't you do a mustache for
grow
this?
Grow that back out, show on the
30th. Yeah, right. Bring that. I got it in the case in the closet.
But yeah, I was gonna say though, like when I was watching you, like everybody in Foul Spirits, like I mean, you guys all get into it. But it was really fun watching you because I was just like, I was waiting for the drum set to move like off the stage, like go 10 feet ahead, because I was like, look at this fucking dude just getting down. Like you look at this drum like it was something you were just about to destroy. Like you looked at the kit. And I was just like, man, just look at this motherfucker's hands go, and you still had the facial expressions. And I was like, maybe he gets that from all the days of playing bass and guitar and stuff. Because like when you're up there, like you know. But yeah, you're very charismatic.
Drum faces come naturally though. Like that's just part of your muscle reflex system.
Yeah.
As a drummer, like your face just does a bunch of fucked up shit and you don't know it. Like in order for your hands and feet to do what they do, your face has to freak out like it's on 17 different drugs.
Yeah, pretty much, man. I mean, you know, me not seeing me play,
right?
I can only imagine. I really can only imagine. I mean, I see pictures here and there, but, you know.
You should watch yourself play sometime, dude. It's really. You should go to one of your shows.
Get some DMT. Step outside of yourself.
Play a show on DMT. Just astral project. Anyone else can do it. Another cool thing Foul Spirits has been doing, and I don't know, maybe you guys are going to do it this week. You guys have been playing some Acid Bath. I mean, they're an iconic band.
Yeah.
And
oh, absolutely, man. Absolutely. Since 94.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to be part of Columbia House. Remember that shit?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
BMG? Oh, yeah. Columbia House. Well, Columbia House to do the CDs, the tapes, records, blah, blah, blah. And in high school, they started doing this thing where they send you a VHS every month with a collection of videos.
Mm-hmm.
And I got one month, and Acid Bath was on it with a video for Tubebo Kumi, which is White Devil. They tell me, you know?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, that's funny. But, so, you know, and I was hanging out with Jeff a lot at the time, and we watched this video, and we were like, what the fuck is going on here? Because, you know, the video is just
like
them.
The swamp video?
Yeah, they're in a swamp. They're floating on fucking wood in a swamp.
It's a fucking weird video.
Yeah, it is. So we're like, what the fuck? But, man, that fucking song was heavy as fuck, dude. Good. So, I mean, you know, Acid Bath has been a constant influence. And especially that first record, When the Kite String Pops.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, dude, that album's relentless. Especially now that I learned it as intimately as I have.
Yeah.
You know, that album is fucking relentless. So, and Jeff shares the same influence. And so, you know, Chris as well. So, one day at practice, we start playing a song. I think it was The Blue. And we played the whole fucking thing. Never played it before in our life. You know, and he started playing it. So all of a sudden we play it. So we're like, oh shit, dude. So we pull Tranquilize, the next song on the record, nice. And boom, we pull it off. We're like, holy shit, dude. So you know, the seed was sown, and we're like, we should just learn the record. So then around that time, we had Gabe left the band, and Torch came in the band. So we dumped the record on him. I made him learn it, you know?
Oh, shit.
We're like, you like Acid Bath, right? he's like, yeah, Acid Bath is cool. They're cool. So we're like, learn this record.
And you're out of the band.
Yeah. So that's...
That was like his initiation.
it really was. Yeah. Me and Jeff were like, how can you not like Acid Bath?
You're
you know?
Hazed with
how
Acid
can you
Bath.
Not like Acid Bath? So, you know, he liked it. And regardless, you know, if he liked it or not, you know, Torch is really fucking... That dude is fucking awesome.
I've never spent enough time out past Colorado, right? Like anywhere west and shit to really know how big Acid Bath was ever out there. Because Rotten Records is out there and shit, but it seems to be like there's this line of states in the Midwest that really are into that fucking band. And then there's just a bunch of people who are like, what? Who? Huh?
Yeah. I mean, I agree. I mean, you know, Ohio, and Louisiana aren't that far off.
In line, yeah.
What is that? Latitude. Latitude, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I had a conversation with my brother a long time ago about that, about the latitude line and how close, and, you know, everything's in line, literally,
yeah,
with each other, you know, and just the influence. Because, I mean, who doesn't know? I mean, a lot of people I know that, you know, in the scene, whether they're playing in the band or people you see at shows or whatever, they all know Acid Bath. They all love Acid Bath.
Right,
yeah.
You know? So, yeah, so one day we played a song, we made it through, did another song, made it through. So we're like, we should learn the record. So, but we're not going to learn just the brutal stuff, you know? Although we might learn, you know, one of the acoustic ones. But, yeah, we're playing an Acid Bath set at the show.
That's going to be fucking...
That's so fucking...
On the 30th, you are?
Yeah.
You guys are doing Scream of the Butterfly?
What's that?
Scream of the Butterfly?
No.
No?
No, no. That's,
That song's so sad.
We might play Bones of Baby Dolls, which I feel is sad as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we want to punch you in the face. We don't want to cradle you.
you guys, I mean, obviously you remember V-Rock. V-Rock was a big factor in NDE success back in the day. Because that's where I first heard NDE.
Dude, V-Rock did worlds for NDE. And let me tell you about V-Rock. Bobby Longo started that.
No shit?
Yeah, yeah. What? Because Bob Long, that was media class, right? So Bobby would bring his tapes, the fucking Nuclear Assault and fucking SOD and shit.
Yeah.
And they gave him an hour. During school, they gave him an hour to play his metal tapes. That's how it all started. Next thing you know, that shit caught on, so they made it a full-time format.
Oh, that's fucking crazy. I never knew that.
Yeah. About. So you know, on that note, I'm sure, you know, B-Rock loved NDE.
Yeah.
But the Streetsboro, you know, the dudes of NDE came from Streetsboro.
Right.
So that's where it all started.
I remember, I think it was the, was it the Pain EP where there was some live stuff from the Falling record?
Yeah.
And right at the beginning, before they kicked in the Falling, like, here, Bobby be like, "Want to thank V-Rock for putting us on the map," some shit with, like, you know, I was like, fucking V-Rock.
Yep.
V-Rock.
That's how I pretty much found out about everybody, was V-Rock.
That's how I found out about Acid Bath. They used to play Scream of the Butterfly all the time.
Dude, they totally did. They totally
all the
did.
Time.
Space Grass from Clutch was a big one that was like a constant. And the fact that they would end their nights with playing Kiss's version of the Star Spangled Banner.
Right.
I always thought that was so I always thought that was so fucking clever. It would take me like an hour, though, to get V-Rock in where I lived. Like, I was down in a basement, and I would have to have, like, coat hangers attached to each other.
Oh, damn, dude.
They have makeshift antennas.
Right, wires strung together to this, to that.
Yeah, it looked like a weird spider web in my fucking bedroom. And one time my mom was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "I'm trying to listen to metal, Mom. Get the fuck out."
Exactly, dude. That fucking dedication that you displayed just to hear music.
Yeah.
You know? That's fucking awesome. I commend you for that.
Fucking NDE. I do want to talk a little bit about NDE. I know.
No.
I promised you. I was like, I'm not going to dwell on the past. I'm not going to beg you guys to reunite for our podcast just for us. You could. There's guitars and drums here. I mean, if you guys just wanted to hang out, the bass over there. I mean, if you guys just wanted to kick it and just play a show for Grant and myself, I'd be fine with that too. But NDE, you guys were one of the very first local bands that I ever got into, even knowing that there was a local scene. The very first one I've talked about before was Crypt Kicker.
That's like everybody's introductory metal band was Crypt Kicker.
And the thing that blew me away about Crypt Kicker, I saw them at Peabody's open up for Biohazard. I was huge into Biohazard back in the day.
I saw Biohazard back in the day.
So,
love Biohazard. That so Urban Discipline cool. record, man.
Man! Oh.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Oh. Every fucking track on that record. But I remember Crypt Kicker, this dude Nick Mills was wearing a Crypt Kicker shirt, and I was like, "Who's that?" And he's like, "They're from Cleveland, they're fucking Crypt Kicker, you fucking should know this." And I was like, I once again, didn't know there was a local scene. And I remember seeing him singing along all the words to Everything Suffering, and I was like, "They're from here?" And I met Crypt Kicker, and I was like, this is so fucking cool. Next show I go to was, it was you guys, NDE, and it may have been Greg Cook's first show with you guys. He's told me that before. But it was NDE opened up and Cold Hand to Christ when they had two singers and Mushroomhead. because
was that Peabody's?
Yeah, it was at Peabody's.
Yeah, yeah.
It was it was July 5th, 1998. But and I've told the story before, but you're here, so I want to reiterate this story because it's one of my favorite. Like, it was a monumental moment in my life.
Oh wow, dude!
I see the drum kit set up, and it has NDE. Like, somebody went to, like, you know, some home improvement store and just got the letters NDE on the fucking drum head.
That's probably what happened.
And I was like, what's going on? You guys came up and you did a song. You did one song, like, for a sound check, and then you left the stage. And I was like, is that how this works? I was like, every local band comes up and they play their hit song, and then another band comes up? I was like, that is incredible. And then, like, you know, 15 minutes later, you guys came up and did a set. And the whole time, I was blown the fuck away by the entire evening. And then, you know, come later, one of my best friends in the world, Reverend Jim from Cold Hand of Christ, right? Fucking sweetheart of a fucking human being.
Oh, the singer, right?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. He's an actor now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
He did a spot in Shameless. You know the show Shameless?
I have not, but I'm aware of it.
He got butt fucked by some dude, one of the main stars in the
oh,
show.
Oh, damn.
He plays a gay, chubby, yeah. But no, like, he's straight, like, acting like he's taking it. And when he came out to Ohio, right after he filmed the scene, he came out to Ohio. We went to Melt to go have lunch together. And I was like, so you're going to be in Shameless? And he's like, just show up the scene. And I'm like, so what's the scene? What's your part? And he's like, you'll have to find out. And then, like, when I watched it, when the episode aired, I fucking, like, I texted him. I was like, dude.
There you go, man.
It's like, went from the, but yeah, like, that show will always stick out to me because one of my dudes at the time, fucking JC, JC from Dead Even and stuff. JC told me, he was just like, man, he's like, NDE is so awesome. And he said, you guys are, like, from Kent or whatever. And I'm like, Ohio? And he's like, yeah. And then I think there was, like, a flyer or something for another NDE show. And I saw you guys probably fucking at least 10 times in, like, a year time frame.
Wow.
Like, any show in Akron, any show in Kent. Like, and I did the same for bands like Crypt Kicker and shit. Like, I mean, we talked about it. I keep saying we talked about it, but we talked about it before. Like, we'd go to shows every weekend because there was nothing else to do.
Yeah.
There was nothing else to do. And I'm telling all my fucking fellow students at school and shit, I'm like, you guys got to go fucking check out NDE. And, yeah, man, like that, you guys were one of the first bands that made me realize that there was a fucking, there was even a scene and that there was really solid fucking shit from here.
Yeah, like in your backyard.
Yeah. And then,
literally, yeah.
And then, I mean, you guys progressed. I had a Team Pain shirt.
Oh, the long sleeve?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Oh, my God. It got stolen. I still won't talk
about
it.
That was probably one of the most stolen shirts in the scene, though. Like, I've heard so many stories about, fuck, somebody stole it.
The girl that stole it sent me a friend request, like, years ago on Facebook. I declined right away.
Oh, you didn't even message her? Like, you got my bitch. Shirt?
Where's my shirt? And then maybe I'll accept. Send,
yeah, give me my shirt and I'll confirm.
Maybe I'll accept.
Ho bag.
But you guys were established, like, even you're one of the very few, maybe the only that I can even think of, that, like, you had your own fucking crew of fans from, like, this area, but, like, Mushroomhead would put you guys on shows, and there was a show at the Blossom.
Yeah, that was 18 years ago, dude.
How old do you feel now? Yeah, I still wear my fucking M3 hoodie. It's got holes in it and shit from that show.
That was an incredible show that night, dude.
I went to see you guys.
Were you there too?
Oh yeah, I was there.
Nice.
Oh yeah.
Were you working there?
No,
at the time.
No. I was enjoying myself. I was in the mosh pit.
Dude, I was you know Wayne's World.
Yeah.
Where they go see Alice? I think it was when they go see Alice Cooper and they have the passes.
Passes, everybody.
That was Burns and I, because we had the pass and we can go anywhere on the ground except for Mushroomhead's dressing room.
Of course.
So, you know, we're in the fucking food place. Oh, it's the pass. Oh, over here. Oh, it's the pass. The basketball court. Oh, the pass. You know. And then we go, like, their backstage is underground.
Right.
It's the first two floors. Or, you know, rooms for the bands. Then you go two further floors down, and it's all the Cleveland Orchestra, you know, equipment.
Mm-hmm.
So Burns and I were like, hey, we got the pass, we got the pass, we got the pass, we got the pass. And we went fucking everywhere we could, man. That was cool.
How did that end up happening? Like, were you just like asked on the show?
Well, Mushroomhead really enjoyed our music, and I think
I don't doubt it.
In particular, I think J-Man.
Yeah, kid.
Yeah, J-Man was the one who would publicly say NDE. You know,
Jason Popson, my best friend. One day, Jason, me and you. It's gonna happen.
But yeah, we're on there because of J-Man, I would say, pretty much. You know, I mean, I know all those dudes, and you know, they're dudes.
How did that feel playing at the Blossom? Because I'm sure you've been to shows at the Blossom before that.
Dude, my first show ever was Metallica at Metal Church. At Blossom.
What year was that?
92.
That was your first show?
Black Album. Yeah, the first show I ever went to.
Holy shit, that's awesome.
And then, you know, years later, you get to play that fucking venue.
Yeah, dude. Oh, crazy. Man, seriously. And, you know, that's something as a you know, musician who has played, away from home, is to see who else played on this stage, you know?
Right.
Like Metallica at Blossom, Metallica at the Odeon, you know? This club in Toronto I played that Nirvana played. And I was like, whoa, at the time, you know, because it was like late 90s, you know,
huge.
Nirvana was still, I want to say, like, relevant, like they weren't
ever
relevant.
Not relevant.
But, you know, I mean, Nirvana rules, man. I like Nirvana.
It was a great band.
Yeah, I like the punk attitude that they had.
The Bleach record
from their first one?
Man,
oh, dude, Bleach.
Heavy as balls.
Yeah, you can tell that they're friends with the Melvin.
Yeah, I was gonna say they were on some Melvin shit. They even had the song "Love Buzz," where I'm just like, "That's got to be about Buzz Osborne. It's gotta be something about Buzz." Fucking love the Melvins, man.
Melvins rule, dude.
Not enough people listen to them.
Melvin's like such an influence on such a number of genre of bands.
Yeah,
like big time. You know, like Nirvana, like Melvins, and then you know, like I Hate God, like Melvins.
Yeah,
you know, so it was like, wow, it's just such a weird like opposite end of the spectrum.
Do you ever
see Melvins is in the middle? You know.
Right.
You ever see that documentary on, it's on YouTube about New Orleans metal, about how the sludgy doom shit fucking started down there, and everybody talks about one Melvin show. Like, you got Jimmy Bauer just like, Melvins came to town and changed everything. And everybody's like, yeah, we were just making rock music, and then the Melvins came, and we're like, what the fuck do we do now?
Yeah. Dude, those first couple Melvins records were fucking just straight up just heavy sludge fucking
damn. See, and I mean, that's crazy. Where are the Melvins from? Where are they from?
Seattle.
Okay, so from all the way over there.
Yeah, dude, exactly.
You know what I mean? And then you got a guy like Jimmy Bauer, and like New Orleans is like known for that shit. So it's like for that band to come all the way from Seattle over here to influence an entire area of the United States, you know, that's fucking crazy.
Yep.
That's insane.
Yep.
And seriously. Then they were Kurt Cobain's favorite band.
He was a roadie for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He tried to get into the band, but they were like, you suck. You suck at guitar. Go do your own band.
You were
fuck
right.
off. Fuck off. Get out of here.
I remember when they fucking they put the fucking Melvins van on eBay.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I think it sold for like $15,000 or something like that. It didn't even run.
And that's all like Kurt Cobain's art on that van, right?
I mean, it was just a red van with like a black stripe. So I mean, there might have been stuff on the inside, but there wasn't nothing on the outside.
It must have been in a different van. I remember a van. It had like, I think it had like Kiss painted on the side and like a bunch of like.
Yeah, art, it might have been in a van.
Yeah, I don't know. It's probably a different van.
I remember when it was on eBay. It may have been that van. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I remember a Melvin van on eBay, but it must have been a different picture. Oh, that was the right side.
I just don't remember the goddamn van.
They might just sell all their vans. Like, I'm sure they've had more than one van.
Yeah,
like
I mean, you know, we're talking about a van for the Melvins. What van did Metallica use? You know, what van did this band use? You know about the Melvins van.
I may be getting their van confused with Soundgarden's van. Because I think Soundgarden's van was the red one with the black strip. I could be wrong. Who gives a fuck? It was on fucking eBay once. And it sold for a bunch of money.
What do you do today? I'm going to list this vehicle on eBay.
So not even just Blossom, though. Like, you guys played fucking Nautica. Nautica stage with Mushroomhead.
Oh, yeah. We did that, too. With them and 13 Faces and Run.
Was Run on that show, too?
I believe so.
Man, dare I say, I like 13 Faces more than I like Run.
Yeah, 13 Faces was...
they hit right after Hatebreed, like, really became, like, you know... I don't want to say they started it, but, like, they made it more popular, like, that style of hardcore, that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I think that's the name of the genre of hardcore, dun-dun-dun.
Dun-dun-dun, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 13 Faces came out, and I loved him because they were the exact he was the exact opposite of Jamie Josta, who's just like, you know, fight for your friends and your family's really good and love the people you love. And, and Rob's just like, fuck everything, everything sucks. And I hope you all die.
It's like, yeah.
Yeah, because Tremley was in that band, and I think Johnny Capri fucking played guitar.
Yeah, 13 Faces was Spawn.
Yeah,
without yeah. fucking Ed, or whatever that guy's name was. Ed. Yeah, yeah.
Fucking Ed.
All right, so overall, you've been playing music for 25 years. How many bands do you think you've been in throughout the course of time? Because you've never, I mean, really never stopped, with the exception of like a little break here and there, maybe.
I don't. All right. You want to like name
Pillow
them?
Humpers, Rue, NDE, Foul Spirits. I can't say Nail Black. But there's a dude that looks like you that's a Nail Black. We'll throw him in there.
Hold on here. I was in a band called Temple of Set. You ever hear of them?
Mm.
Temple of Set was me on drums. It was my buddy Tom Muron, who's an awesome tattooist.
Tattoo artist? Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. He's
True North Tattoos out in Wadsworth.
That's right. And then Falchet, who played bass in Rue, was in that band. And then Bucky. Everyone knows Bucky. Bucky Bartlett.
Bucky Bartlett.
From, what was that? What was that band he was in? The Flames band.
Fuck! He sings.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah, but we did that for a while. And I was in Tex Avery. And then,
That's seven, right?
I don't know, man.
You were a seven.
Is that seven? Yeah. Oh, I was in Ketamine for a while.
I remember those guys.
Y'all ever hear of Ketamine?
Yeah, I remember those guys. You guys played Crossroads, right?
We played Crossroads, and we played the Rockstar Bar up on the 15th fucking floor of Peabody's.
Yeah.
And then I did that comedy thing with my boy Dave.
Yeah, for a minute.
Caucasian Persuasion.
Mm-hmm. I remember that, dude.
Yeah. That's that stuff wouldn't fly nowadays.
Nope.
Yeah. But you know, a number of bands.
I mean, you're almost in double digits. It's like eight or nine.
Is that eight?
Eight or nine.
You know, someone sent me a link to fucking the Metal Archives website, and Foul Spirits is on there. And I'm like, oh, no shit. And then there was a link from my name, and it had all those bands listed.
Really?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So I was like, god damn, that's a lot of bands, dude. You know, some people would be like, that's... Ew, you know, find a direction and stick with it or
something. Nobody can
get
along with that guy, apparently.
Yeah.
Everybody can get along with that guy, apparently.
You know, for the most part. Being a band is a finicky thing, is it not?
No, yeah.
It is. It's a finicky thing, man. When you get in there and all that matters is the things that you have in common.
Right.
You know, you want to fucking play music, you want it to be brutal or whatever, you know, you want to create a certain mood, and you have the dudes that are all on board with that. And after a while, you know, the things that are different come into play.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how you deal with that shit, you know, and I haven't dealt with it perfectly every time. You know, just because I'm in a band doesn't mean I've passed fucking some sort of social class where I'm able to fucking, you know, fix everything socially.
Right.
Because, you know, I can't, and I'll create some social distress too. But it's a finicky thing, man. But I think that I'm, for the most part, I'm easy to get along with. And, you know, I like playing music. You know, Tom and I are jamming again with my wife, Elise.
Nice.
Because, you know,
I've seen some videos and stuff. She shreds, dude.
Of her?
Yeah.
Dude, she, yeah. When I first met her, she was playing acoustic. And, you know, messing around with electric. Although she, you know, she was in a band that played electric guitar.
Yeah.
But she wanted to play fast. You know, and she's really, really, really shy. So, you know, I go to practice and she would practice, you know, or I'd be busy, you know, doing whatever, and she would play. Next thing you know, she got these videos where she's shredding. Actually, she sent me a video where she's playing Heartwork by Carcass.
Oh, okay.
She's playing Carcass, dude. I was like, wow, look at this shit, right? And then she has these riffs, and her and I are jamming, and her and I and Tom are jamming. So, you know, like, whatever Tom doesn't like, we'll just do, you know, because we have a studio in our basement.
Yeah.
So I guess that counts for another couple tallies on the band mark.
On the band mark, yeah.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
Well, I guess it is a double digit now.
Elise made my day yesterday because she put up a really cool post with your daughter about Metallica. She's shedding,
Metallica.
But she like she transcribed like actual a conversation that you and I had about Metallica from a few episodes back, Grant. And I was reading, like, I started reading it, and I had to stop reading it at first because I started blushing because I was like, that's our exact words. Like, that's it. I've never read that. And so, like, I tell my wife, I tell Jessica, I was like, hey, I was like, Wally's wife Elise, she put up this post. And she's talking about what Grant and I said, and I was like, I feel like I was reading it, and I was like, I felt way smarter and funnier than what I really am.
Dude, she said you guys are hilarious. I'm behind on the listening, but yeah, I mean, there's a number of times she's like, oh, I'm listening to Grant and Eric right now. Like, you know, I'm at work.
Yeah.
You know, she's at work listening to you guys.
That's so awesome. So awesome. It made my day, dude. It really did.
I love when my friends tell me they fucking dig the show and they think we're funny.
And here I am going, oh, I've listened to much.
It's okay. I've been here just going, like, I love all your bands.
You're in, like, 20 bands and shit. Like, you got time for podcasts.
Wow.
Yeah.
You don't have to listen to
that show. No, it's all good. We've listened to you for years.
Yeah,
like the Coal Chamber show. That's like, that was like the first time I ever seen you guys, and I was the same way as far as like Eagle goes, with thinking that you guys were like a national band. I didn't know you were local until you got off stage.
The first time you saw us was
that Coal Chamber show. That was the first time I seen you guys live. Was that Coal Chamber show at Ron's Crossroads? And that was the one where the fucking...
Did we play with them?
You yes. Sure that was... Oh yes.
You sure it wasn't Kent?
No.
Okay.
No.
I played more than one show with Coal Chamber.
Apparently.
You have to cut that part out.
You definitely...
I don't think Des will mind.
You definitely played the Crossroads show.
I wasn't really in the Coal Chamber. But, you know, I played shows. I schooled Des. He was listening to a band called Exit 13. And he didn't know Exit 13. I'm like, hey, that's fucking Dan Loker, dude. And the dude from Relapse Records. You know, it was like jazz. But it's all about, like, weed and heroin, you know? Yeah.
Nice.
And he's like, Exit 13. I'm like, oh, Dan Loker. And he's like, who? And I'm like, ugh. You know? You're listening to it. You should know it, you know? But that was in Kent, because I was on their bus in Kent. Because, you know, I wanted to smoke. And then he's going on their bus to smoke. And he's listening to songs about smoking. I think the album's called Smoking Songs by Exit 13. And he didn't know. He didn't. I was like, wow, that's weird, you know, because in my mind, he's famous.
Right.
He's on V-Rock. He's on, you know, videos and shit. So I'm like, you know, he has to know everybody, you know? But, yeah, I played with them in Akron, too, huh? I didn't know that.
Congratulations,
man. Their drummer almost died that night.
Coal Chamber's drummer?
Yeah, they had to take him to the hospital because he was completely dehydrated because they had no fucking fans and they oversold the show. And it was so fucking hot in there that Bug fucking almost died, apparently. And they like had to rush him to the hospital after the fucking set.
Damn.
So if you bring that show up to Des, even today, like if you ask Des, like, hey, I seen you guys, Ron's Crossroads, Akron, Ohio, he'd be like, fuck that place. They almost killed my fucking boy. I mean, you could have brought a fan with you and shit. Like, I mean, I wouldn't say they tried to murder him. Just
extra bottle of water. Or something.
But yeah, that night was... That was the first time I seen you guys live.
Fuck you and your twisted morning break and break us.
I certainly miss NDE shows, man, and watching you guys play. And I know that it'll probably never happen again. But Greg's busy eating food, and Bobby's busy doing whatever the fuck he does in the studio, and you know Longo's making bread and being awesome.
And you got foul spirits.
So I can't really like collectively thank all of you at one time, but thank you for all the shows that you guys played and giving me nights of fucking people up.
Oh, damn, that's humbling, man.
That I needed to get shit out.
This whole thing here is humbling because I really don't talk about
You guys seriously influenced a lot of younger people. I know that one of the biggest reasons that I wanted to start a band was so I could play a show with you guys. Like, wow. That was a goal.
Wow.
And
dude,
when we got to do it, like, that was
life's over. But goal made, but we can quit.
You guys helped shape a scene that still exists to this day. And even young kids now, when you tell some fucking 24-year-old about NDE, they might come right back at you. Like, it's happened to me. Where I'm like, we used to see this band NDE, and they're like, I fucking grew up on NDE.
Wow.
And what you're doing now is fucking amazing. Like, it's
Foul Spirits is fucking great.
It's so fucking great.
It's fun, man. It's fun to do. It really is. You know, although we probably should have spent this last few months writing tunes. We're playing Acid Bath, you know?
Right. Right.
I mean, it's fun.
That's the thing about it. It's like, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
We're just like, I would love to fucking see Foul Spirits play some fucking Acid Bath. Hell yeah, I'd like to see that.
Well, come out to the show. And if you can't make it, then I'm sure there will be some video. And it will be distributed throughout the internet.
Internet. Come out to the show.
Yeah.
July 30th at the Outpost.
Well, I meant Eric personally, but everyone else better be there.
Yeah. Everybody else definitely better be there. I think I have to.
What?
Yeah.
So?
I work Saturday nights.
Didn't one of your workers have to work one night, and then they went and seen some fucking stupid band at Blossom?
Yeah.
What band was that again?
30 seconds.
5 seconds, it's fucking Saturday.
Jared Leto, the Joker from Suicide Squad.
Oh my God, he took his shirt off. It was fucking amazing. We were close enough to smell his sweat.
Yeah, I highly recommend for anybody listening.
14
go check
seconds
out
to Jupiter.
Go check out Foul Spirits this Saturday with Axioma and Modem. Three bands,
man. We're doing it old school.
It's going to be a fucking...
I still wish shows were like that, man. Those are the best nights.
Absolutely.
Because you get to talk to people. You know what I mean? You have a night of socializing with people and fucking talking about the music that you're hearing and the things that are going on and all the other bands that are happening. And
right.
You get to do that. You can't do that when it's fucking 12 bands and it's stage. You have to literally leave the venue, go outside and go do something in order to just fucking chill out and talk. It's where you got a show with three bands, fucking band plays, hang out for fucking 15, 20 minutes, fucking conversating, another band plays,
right.
Drinking, nice and relaxed fucking environment. It's going to be a good night.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely go check out Foul Spirits. We'll play some Foul Spirits on the show. Before we go, we should address it real quick. Rest in peace, Vinnie Paul.
Dude. Yeah, Vinnie Paul last night.
Yesterday. I work where I work. Mm-hmm. I work a saw or a router, you know, loud power tools so I wear headphones.
Right.
And all week I've been in the back trying to think of what the fuck to listen to, right? So then yesterday I realized, oh shit, Pantera put out that Live at the Dynamo record yesterday. It came out yesterday. So I'm like, oh, let's see if Apple Music has it. They had it, so I listened to it. I only listened to about 3 or 4 tunes because, you know, obviously we all know the tunes.
Yeah.
The record sounded good. I'm like, I wonder if Vinnie Paul had a part in that, which I'm sure he did because he was, you know, he was the behind the scenes studio guy in the band.
Yep.
So it was just very ironic that, you know,
he dies on the day that album comes out.
The day that, you know, probably the last Pantera thing is going to be released. And then so I fall asleep on the couch like a fucking old man last night. And then I wake up this morning and it was just, I mean, you know.
Just flooded,
wow.
Right?
You know, I mean, people think Pantera, the first two people they're going to think of Phil and Dimebag.
Yeah.
You know? And in that respect, I don't think Vinny gets the respect that he probably deserves in the band. Because a lot of people were like, oh, Vinnie Paul, you know, but Vinnie Paul, that dude was really fucking important to that band,
yeah.
You know.
So I think to drumming in the world of metal, he was important. I told Eric, like that guy's footwork was fucking flawless.
Dude,
he was crazy how his brain fucking worked. Like his feet were amazing.
Dude, that song Becoming at the end.
Oh, yeah. It's fucking nuts. And to watch him play that, like on the fucking Vulgar videos and shit, when they're in the studio, dude, and they got him down on. Watching his feet. Oh, my God.
Yeah, dude.
That dude was so good.
Yep.
So, yeah, go listen to some Pantera today and get yourself a ticket to Foul Spirits for this Saturday.
What's that?
I'm telling the listener.
He's telling the people to come out.
Oh, yeah, do it.
Yeah, come out.
Do that.
Do it.
Come out
Erickson.
This Saturday. do a shot for Vinny at the Foul Spirit show. And
I'm sure there'll be black tooths.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere.
I wish we could talk to you forever, but, you know.
We have to like do another show with you.
We need to do another show with you.
We seriously didn't even talk about Pillow Humpers, and that's my favorite shit. Like, I love that band so much. I mean,
Pillow Humpers was really fucking fun, man.
Burns, like, you know, he's, you know, dude, I, you know, too old, man. I can't even play that stuff anymore. Fuck off. You know you can.
Yeah, you just gotta want it, man. Just like Longo and Greg. You know, well, Greg. Longo, we're in the wrong tax bracket to talk about. but you know, but as far as Greg goes, Greg doesn't want to play drums,
right?
But he still has his drums. So I see Greg. We'll have a couple drinks, and he gets all tipsy, blinking one eye at a time. And I'm like, sell me those drums. And he's like, fuck you, every time.
Yes.
You know. So I'm like, okay, well, let's do some NDE stuff. He's like, fuck you. And I'm like, okay, well, sell me your drums. Fuck you. You go back and forth. It's funny, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm sure if Greg, you know, you show Greg the numbers, I got fucking like 2,000 people ready to buy a ticket now to see us play.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sure he'd be like, huh?
So well, that's what we had said. Like, what do I have to do?
Yeah.
To fucking get you back in the fucking band and play drums again?
Like, cause you know that dude.
I have to buy you a whole pig. I will.
That dude could sit behind the fucking drum set right now
and kill shit
and smoke. Yeah, he smoke it all. He'd fucking burn that shit down. But he thinks he's not. He's like, I probably won't. So he won't. You know, I'm like, dude, you get behind that drum set and you'll fucking kill it. He's like, no, I won't.
It's such a, how, no, I won't. He's like, one of the best drummers. Like, I love watching that dude play, man. Like, he's so tight.
Greg,
he's solid as fuck.
Greg no, is won't. My main influence on drumming. Like, literally, I watched that. I was 3 feet away from that dude for years, you know,
right,
watching
yeah.
him play drums.
And playing bass.
And NDE and in Rue, you know, watching him play drums. I love every fucking moment of watching him play. And that dude is my biggest influence. And I'm about to cry right now.
Hell yeah.
That's beautiful. But seriously, man.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, seriously, man, Greg. Seriously, play. Seriously, the drums.
We're begging. We're begging. I mean, I don't want to beg, but I'm begging. I'm begging.
So we're gonna do. We're gonna play him a little fucking Foul Spirit.
We're gonna play some Foul Spirit.
Just no Nail Black, right?
Who?
No Nail Black.
You guys want to talk to Mollum?
That's like some guy named Gollum from The Hobbit.
Yeah, Gollum.
That's what we'll do. We'll get Mollum.
Lord of the fucking
we'll get
Rings.
Mollum on. We'll get Mollum on the next show. Is what we'll do.
But all he does is go. Oh.
Dude, thank you so fucking much for coming
out. Thanks for coming out.
It's been a long time coming. Anytime you went on the show, man.
I'm honored to be here in this humbling situation that you guys have bestowed upon my conscience and my ego.
Yeah, we love you, dude.
I'll come back anytime.
Awesome. Hell yeah.
Awesome.
This Saturday, Foul Spirits, Axioma, Modem, Outpost Concert Club in Canada.
4962 State Route 43.
And also go check out foulspirits.bandcamp.com. Go download their shit.
Download donate a couple bucks.
We just released a two-song EP. Both songs are covered.
Yeah.
We did Bastard by Motley Crue.
Yes.
And we got, you know, the almighty Killjoy. We did vocals on that, like, you know, a few years ago. Man. And then we did A Night of Living Dead by the Misfits.
Woo!
Yeah,
it's one of my favorite bands.
Yeah, and we got our boy Tim Schofield. I call him Tim Sco.
Yeah.
To do some vocals on that, because that's one of his favorite bands too. So I just released that this month.
That's awesome.
And I'm trying to get that shit pressed on you know, 7-inch.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'd get that for my kid right away.
But that whole money thing comes into play. So
right.
Eventually, hopefully, optimistically, I will have that on 7-inch.
Yeah.
But for now, just listen to it.
The cover of that 7-inch, the cover for the sleeve, it should be just a big picture of Timmy's face. Because he hates having his picture taken. He hates having his picture put out there. He hates it, dude. Like, he hates that shit.
And then, yeah, and if that happens, I'll send a fucking mass group text. Because he hates group text, too.
Yeah.
10, 12 people responding at once. He hates it. I'm going to make it happen.
Well, we'll be back maybe next week, maybe not. I don't know. It's keeping it 99. We do what we want when we want.
But we'll be back. Until then, my name is Eagle.
I'm Rubber City Redbeard. Thank you, Mr. Wally Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Wally Howe, so
good,
much.
Good
so
to
much.
See you guys. Good to hear you guys.
It's fucking awesome, man.
Thanks, dude.
Excellent, excellent. Good times.
All right, peace.
Have a good weekend. Yeah!
Lousy Weather Media Network production. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.com.